What we're trying to do is to develop Alberta's nanotechnology capacity through strategic funding of unique research opportunities in Alberta.
Now, we already have the Nanotechnology Institute here at the University of Alberta. How much activity is really happening in the province in terms of nanotechnology?
Alberta is, in Canadian terms, Alberta is a nanotechnology center, and you're right, we have the National Institute for Nanotechnology on the campus at the University of Alberta. There's approximately 200 people populating that building and working there on nanotechnology issues. The building, the facility, was opened in June 2006. And what Ingenuity hopes to do is to capitalize on what has been built here in Edmonton and to develop that further. So what we would really love to be able to see is industries developing here in Alberta that will stay here in Alberta, and that we can have great things from nanotechnology here in this province.
What has been developed so far?
Well, what we have so far is an institute that is involved in industrial development. There are partnerships emerging. But in essence, bear in mind this is a big institute, and we have been trying to attract key researchers to come to Edmonton and to build their programs. So we're still at the very early stages of developing NINT. What there are is partnerships in a variety of different technological areas. And what we would like to do now is to really spur that technological development, that industrial collaboration, and to develop new business opportunities in Alberta.
Do you have any examples?
With the Nanotechnology Accelerator Program at Alberta Ingenuity Fund, what we aim to do is to attract a world-class researcher to come to Alberta to work in Edmonton in the environment that's already here, and to bring his or her expertise to the province and his or her ability to make the industrial connections, to see Alberta as a fertile ground for developing new industrial opportunities. So, for example, we could envision that somebody who is working in nanotechnology in the area of medical devices, say, could come to Alberta and could partner with existing companies on the ground here in Alberta. Microline comes to mind as one such example. It's a grown in Alberta company that could benefit substantially if we were to be able to attract the right person and enable a team of researchers to come in and really fit and mesh with the Alberta environment.
Is there much happening, though, at the industrial scale yet? My understanding is that nanotechnology is still very much in the research and development stage.
I would have to agree with you. What we're talking about substantially in Alberta right now is nanoscience. We don't have a major capacity for creating products that are being sold out the doors of companies in Alberta yet. But the science and the technology is emerging, and now the key is to package that science and technology into new products and new services that we can offer here from Alberta.
One of the aspects you're looking at and that you're involved in deals with some of the legal issues and the ethical issues around the development of nanotechnology, and concerns come up as to what does this new science, this new technology really mean to us as consumers or as the public. What are some of the areas that you see emerging out of this?
Well, very interesting question, and it is the area that I've spent most of my time researching. My background really has been focusing on genetic technologies, stem cell technologies, other new technologies, and really we have to look at nanotechnology as simply another, not simply, but as another new emerging technology. So we have a whole historical history to go back and draw upon from new technology developments. nanotechnology is challenging regulators in new ways by virtue of the fact that we're creating new particulate substances, for instance, that we don't know necessarily all the ways in which they may impact the environment and human health. On the other hand, really what we're talking about is science at the nanoscale being applied in ways that we're used to seeing. We're developing new products. The iPod is one example, right? New electronic devices that utilize nanotechnology are an evolutionary change from products that we have used in the past. So, you know, we've come from Walkmans through iPods. So the way I look at it is nanotechnology is not necessarily the transformative huge leap that has been portrayed. It's science at the nanoscale being applied in new novel ways and challenging us as technologies have over the centuries.
Well, some of the sci-fi aspects that come out in this are, and of course they have, you know, the horror aspect to them too, but things like nanobots, things that could be injected into our systems that, you know, we may not know anything about. What kinds of things are you looking at or hearing about with concerns over those kinds of uses of the technology, things that might invade our privacy?
Certainly. I mean, one of the areas for sure is we've seen developments in imaging capacity and techniques. So the ability to take pictures from very small devices that can be, you know, perhaps hidden surreptitiously or put into our bodies. These certainly challenge our notion of privacy and challenge the legal regime. Having said that, we have a legal regime over privacy. And so the question is really not, do we need a new legal regime to deal with this? It's we need to be thinking about the ways in which these technologies may be used to impact our personal privacy. So I would say, you know, the imaging thing, surveillance, we may be able to be surveilled in ways that we won't know. New medical devices that can store enormous amounts of data about us. The uses of nanotechnology to create very high-powered computing devices that will be able to put data back together and to reconstruct what's gone on in society in ways that we haven't been able to do before. So there certainly will be challenges to our ability to control information about us. But this is something that, you know, it's technologies converging together. So it's information technology, it's nanotechnology. The ways in which nanotechnology and biotechnology will come together provide additional challenges about what our personal identity is and how it might be used by others.
Are public policymakers looking at nanotechnology from this aspect? Is there something in place right now that looks at these concerns?
There are lots of people thinking about the issues. There are researchers thinking about the issues. Government departments are thinking about the issues. And they're asking academics about, you know, what's happening in the scientific world. They ask people like me and others, you know, how will this impact the legal regime? So the thinking is happening, but the reality is that as new technologies emerge, it's inevitable that the laws that control our society really lag behind these new technologies. And that's just the nature of law, regulation, and policy and new technologies.
From your perspective, where do you see things going?
From my perspective, I see nanotechnology as providing tremendous opportunities to do really good things for society. And I think, you know, if you look at the history of science, we know that science can be used for good and for ill. And nanotechnology is no different. What we see, though, is science and new developments that can be used in terrific ways to improve the environment, to remediate environmental contaminants, to provide low-cost solutions to water purification. So as I see it, there are certain things that will inevitably evolve that will challenge how we think about ourselves and will, challenge, again, coming back to this nanotechnology-biotechnology interface, controversial applications will emerge. But overall, I think that it's for the good.
Thank you very much, Lori.
Thank you, Cheryl. Pleasure.